Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's all for one and all for love, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
I'm Sting.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Michael Bolton is on tour soon.
Hi, everybody. Good to have you with us.
It's your first Monday show back, isn't it?
It is.
Mm. How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel very, very good. We were together we record on Thursday, release Friday morning, of course, for the preview show, but it is nice back being among you for the start of the week show.
Are you ready for going for gold, Marcus?
Yeah.
Very much so. While I was away...
You got all of them?
I got the one Luke got. I didn't get the one Jim got.
Oh, well, there we go.
How are the beef sweats? Are you recovered from those now?
No, I'm fine now.
Mm. Good.
I'm fine.
You're letting that go, are you, Pete? Oh, what? Yeah, okay. Marcus got my one, but he didn't get Jim's one. You're letting that one go, are you?
Why is that allowed?
What's there to let go?
There's no way you'd have got that ahead of me.
I think you need to let go.
You need to stop letting go, all at me.
Were you here for the one where we had to flip a coin?
And it's all for one, and all for love. Yeah, you see?
I'm Sting, I told you.
We like Sting and Rod Stewart and Brian Adams are one extra one.
Who would you add to that three, that unholy triforce?
Michael Bolton,
clearly. Well, who was it? Bolton, Sting, Stewart?
No, Bolton's not involved.
But you've added Bolton was involved.
No. Sting, Stewart and Adams.
Oh, yeah, it was Adams, wasn't it? The Groover, not from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim doesn't want to be any part of it.
No. A lot of regain in that room, isn't there?
I tell you who could be a part of it from now on. Marco Silva, he ain't got a job.
He's gone! What's happened there?
Always happens.
The bottom of the form table?
Yeah.
Well, all right, you can prove anything with facts, can't you?
Yeah, apparently.
Yes, Marco Silva. We didn't see that coming when they were playing well, but then that is often the case.
He didn't see it coming because his head was turned.
Yeah, he's looking at Everton.
That seems to be it. They lost away to Leicester, and that was enough. They've won one in their last 11 matches in the league, but they're still 10th. Although four points above Southampton in 18th. It's quite congested in there.
That was surprising to see that Everton and Watford, who've both been playing like absolute drains recently are both still in the top half. Someone made an interesting point to me when we saw the Marco Silva news break, was that I think Everton offered £15 million for Marco Silva.
My goodness.
And Watford said no. Ever since that's happened, obviously, the focus has been terrible. I don't know if he's been sulking or what, but it's not happened for them for whatever reason, and that's been given as the reason that it could have gone south. But presumably they're going to have to pay Silva compensation now anyway and find a new manager. They found one, but then they could have just taken the money, and hardly they've just hired now anyway and been much better off.
They could have signed Alan Shearer with that money.
They're so ready to go.
Everton, sorry.
They're so ready to go with a new manager, aren't they? They just turn them over so quickly. They just know this. Like UKIP. Yeah. Just endless recycling.
Cutting the head off the Hydra.
Well, to be fair to Watford, though, that they have had a new man in place, haven't they? They've obviously been searching
immediately
for one. And which shows you, goodness knows how long it was, they might have phoned Javi Gracia yesterday and he'd gone, yeah, that'll do, and then he's in. But you would imagine it would have taken longer than that. Therefore, this downturn in form, Silva's head being turned, has been something that they've been well aware of. And of course they've been well aware of that, and they've obviously felt enough's enough, this has gone on too long, and they've pounced.
It's the first, I mean, you guys may correct me here, and if you don't, I'm sure our listeners will, but it's the first time I can think of, because we hear about players having their heads turned all the time, right? Dimitri Payet would be a great example, a few others. First time I can remember it happening to a manager. Mm. So basically the entire club has completely gone off a cliff in terms of playing staff. Because the manager's been like, well, I really wanted to go to Everton, and you've stopped me.
Yeah. I can do my 5-year plan in two. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what it looks like, isn't it? The plan is to gradually get to a bigger and bigger club until you're at one of the elite clubs. And obviously, this is a huge, huge setback for Silva. And what I thought was interesting, I thought this at the time as well, the game on Saturday against Leicester, when they went 2-0 down, Silva looked absolutely furious on the touchline, really stressed out. And we've seen from interviews, he's quite a measured guy. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if actually, you know, it's the relationship with the players is broken down because they're all thinking, well, you don't want to be here. So, you know, why should we get on board with your style? Because how long is it going to be around for?
But that is the strange thing. I mean, they were willing to pay a lot of money to Everton. So you sort of go, oh, well, you know, they really want me and stuff. If that doesn't happen, you kind of got to just knuckle down. Just sort of, and don't say things in the press like, it doesn't really matter what you say in the press. You can say, you know, I'd love to go to Everton, I'd love to go or not. Just say that you're happy at Watford because things will happen anyway. Stuff behind the scenes. Yeah, he came out and basically said, Everton are a big club and I don't want to talk about it. It's like, well, don't say that Everton are a big club. Yeah. That's just disrespectful to the people who pay you wages.
It's like when we wouldn't let you go to Football Weekly.
I know, yeah.
It took you ages to get over that.
It's hard to dress that up as a sideways move.
Has anyone got any... Has Elton John commented on this? Sir Elton John?
Have you got him on the line?
No. I didn't have any sort of...
he'd be fifth in the group.
He'd be playing the old Joanna, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I just want to follow up on something Jim said then, because I think it's an interesting angle, which is that this is going to... I presume going to hurt Marco Silva's reputation because he's enjoyed a very, very high reputation as this up-and-coming manager who's been able to do great things. Yet, the time we've seen him managing in England, and I know his record outside of England has been exceptional, but the time we've seen him managing in England, he's enjoyed a great, great reputation at Hull, but they were relegated. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact of the matter. They were relegated. And teams who perhaps in the past have been absolutely nailed on for relegation have occasionally escaped it. So other managers have done it, and he wasn't able to. And this focus thing on Watford after having Everton's interest knocked back, it's affected them so badly that they found themselves rock bottom of the form table. As you said, Marcus, they've won one Premier League game in 11 and he's lost his job.
Yeah.
So it's funny how the mighty can fall so quickly in the game. Mm-hmm. And even though Marco Silva probably isn't that mighty.
I mean, he'll rise again, but I know...
What do you think his next move would be, though?
Well, these are the eighth... He's the eighth manager to go this season. I wonder if we won't see him at Southampton before the end of the season.
I heard someone else mention that
earlier. I'll tell you something. Well, I don't think his reputation... I know some people are saying that he's been a victim of his own ambition, if you will.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a victim of something, then let it be your ambition, I suppose. But... I wonder how much this will damage his reputation. It may stop him getting, say, a job like Southampton, because Southampton might think, well, we're probably not big enough for him, or he's going to go elsewhere. So I think that could be it. But in terms of getting to the top of the game, I don't think it will harm him too much. And I say that because I forget where it was. They interviewed, it might have been Sky Sports, they interviewed some of his former players at his former clubs. Full of praise for the man.
That's the thing.
I mean, it is ridiculous. And this isn't even the kind of praise that that some people would give, say, Jose Mourinho.
Mourinho
got high praise, but this was high praise and it was kind of... There didn't seem a downside to it.
I completely agree. You want to go and speak to anyone who's worked with him. And we talked about it on the radio a while back. I did a radio show a while back, and there was a phone in, and listeners were rightly calling in saying, why is everyone going crazy about Marco Silva? Because basically what I've just said, the whole relegation and the rest of it. And it's because every single person who's played with him or knows someone who's played with him or has coached with him, he's immaculate.
And they all say he's brilliant. A decent fella as well. Right. And he's got an awful lot going for him.
So you think maybe he'll survive this fairly easily?
I've no doubt he will. But I think the short term, maybe if, say, the Southampton job, you know, if the electric chair does get rid of the Southampton managers, which is what he talked about, lost in translation perhaps.
Yeah. But, that would be a harsh penalty. Yeah. Some would say the ultimate penalty.
1st of February, Rafa just runs away because he's sick of Newcastle.
You'd have Silver at Newcastle.
Yeah, that'd be a good appointment.
Do you guys also find it quite curious that the statement that came out from the club is they said, had it not been for the unwarranted approach by a Premier League rival for his services, we would have continued to prosper under his leadership. Mm. Normally, you don't expect a club to say that.
No.
They could have easily just said, well, I mean, as Jim's already said, 8th manager to go this season, they could have easily said, well, bottom of the form table, 1-11, it's not good enough. Mm-hmm. And that would have been that.
Yeah.
It's funny that they feel like they're annoyed about it as well.
I was surprised they said that.
It throws a spanner into the works of his next move, doesn't it? Because it reinforces this idea everybody already had, which up until now you could have been... Yeah, within your rights to perhaps dismiss as being spurious press talk of, he had his head turned. Absolutely, he will look elsewhere at another job and lose focus. So now, clubs will have to take that into account. You know, Southampton, you know, figuratively, if that job came up, they'd have to think, well, you know, if we get him in, will he leave in 6 months because he gets an offer elsewhere? I think, I wonder, you know...
They're used to that, though, Southampton, aren't they?
Well, quite, yeah. But, I mean, from Silva's point, does he want to stay here and dispel that? And prove himself in England, or does he want to go away somewhere else to a different league, have another spell there, and then maybe have a crack later on? Now he's known as being someone who understands the league.
He won't be as short of a job, I wouldn't have thought.
I think
he may have to go abroad. I think the shame for me is that had he had, as Pete said, you know, stay knuckled down at Watford, because Watford to Everton is a step up. Everton are a huge club, don't get me wrong, but it's not where he ultimately wants to be. He wants to be managing a club that is more successful than Everton. No disrespect to Everton, of course, but I think it would have been, you know, have a season at Watford. Because you only get a season, let's be honest. You'll be Pep Guardiola and you only get a season there. You know, finish in the top half, finish really, really well, and then jump from there. Rather than a few months into the season, you're playing really, really well, everyone's talking about you, and, you know, it's kind of gone off the tracks.
Do you reckon
for the moment.
He might just be going to Everton on his way to Everton now? Just thinking, I'm going to go there. I know they've already got a manager, but I just love being there. he's going to do a Peter Odin Wingy.
Yeah.
Just turn up.
Just rock up.
Sam Allardyce will be waiting for him.
Yeah, he will, yeah. Get him on as a coach.
Well, they've got Javi Gracia in, as we know.
Did anyone else think that was a typo in the Sky Sports ticker?
I did.
It should have been Javi Garcia.
I thought to myself, there's a proper player manager. Javi Garcia is a defensive midfielder, you know, ex-Man City. Did he play for Benfica as well?
Yeah. Does that translate as Javi Thank?
Might be, yeah.
I hope so.
Might be, yeah. Can't be too far away from that.
I see what you mean, yeah. It's not, yeah. Let's wonder if the fans will be thanking him, Jim, come the end of the season. Malaga was probably where I kind of sort of know him from as manager from Malaga. Finished 9th and 8th in the season.
What, he's not up on your Rubin Kazan?
are they really struggling now, Malaga, as we learned on the Continent last week?
Indeed, yeah. But he's got a reputation for setting up very well against much better opposition. I think his Malaga side, they beat Real Madrid, they beat Atletico Madrid, they might have beat Barcelona as well. So some big scalps. So Watford are playing Chelsea next at Vicarage Road, if he has an immediate impact there. Yeah. You know, we shall have to wait and see.
So I guess it's part of the cycle of Watford, isn't it? Going for the pragmatist and then maybe moving on to something a bit more dynamic and then going back to the pragmatist.
Yeah.
Do you remember when
it's
Watford...
like Grindr, isn't it?
Do you remember when Watford went through that phase of having like a man sent off every game?
It's not going to help you, is it?
No, but I'm looking back at that now thinking, was everyone just so angry that Marco couldn't go to Everton? Do you reckon he promised them all moves?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm going to go to Everton. I'm going to sign every single one of you.
Well, they were beaten by Leicester, of course. And just a quick note on them. They're looking pretty good under Puel, aren't they?
Never boring, is it? Never boring. Jamie Vardy will solve a murder on the way to a game next. Like, it's just, they're in seventh. Like, they can now realistically look at a Champions League, not a Champions League spot, a European place. Yeah. You know, they can absolutely aim for that.
But they're a bit far off the Europa League. I mean, I sort of predicted that they'll sort themselves out and push for a Europa League. And I know
they can aim for that.
They can aim for that, but I think they are a fair few points off Spurs in fifth.
And they probably will lose players in January, won't they? They've got some pretty...
Well, at the moment, I mean...
Big ticket ones.
Slomani on loan maybe to Chelsea.
But. Someone was saying that Mahrez might walk out at some point.
Mm. Yeah.
So I mean, that's
there's a lot of talk. There's been a lot of talk of Marison for a long time.
For years,
If they can get a manager who can get in his head and sort his kind of slightly patchy form at times.
Well, with a voice like Claude Puel's, I mean, what other voice do you want in your head?
And we laughed at Puel.
He's such a lovely voice.
Well, he said he was going to seduce Mahrez, didn't he?
And he sort of has. Of all the men that could do it.
Have I missed this? Are we all enthralled to Puel's voice, or is this just you, Marcus?
No,
are you developing
it.
A thing? Have you moved on from Tom Heaton?
No, nothing needs to be developed. It's already there.
Well, you do still like Tom Heaton.
He's more of a teammate rather than a manager.
Nothing needs to be developed. It's already there.
We can see that.
Yeah.
But Puel has got a very classic English with a French accent.
Beautiful.
Sort of romantic, romantic.
But it's very
voice.
Soft as well. I couldn't imagine him.
It's very much like Sean Dyche is.
I imagine.
I'd love to hear Sean Dyche speak in French.
So if Dyche was
eating... confusing sound.
Would you like to hear Sean Dyche...
Je m'appelle!
I'd like to hear Sean Dyche trying to seduce someone with his voice. So I've just been thinking that... we get on really well, and I wonder...
He might be better with his
words
than
that. What are you doing on Saturday night?
Will you eat my worm?
Peter!
What? Or them wingy.
Indeed. Yeah. Moving on swiftly, I think. So, Silva's gone. But Arsene Wenger's still there, but Alexis Sanchez is not.
Is he not, though? He's in limbo at the moment.
Well, it's a saga.
He's been spotted in a number 7 shirt.
It's not been clinched yet, but we are in the midst of a saga.
I believe the dream is over.
But, Jim, what about Atom and Humber? Have they gone as well?
I assume so. Yeah. That'd be very cruel if the club had sort of contracted them and wouldn't let them go
through. Yeah, the best thing that Arsenal did over the last probably 10 years, but actually, no, 20 years. The entirety of Wenger's run.
This is going to be good.
Yeah, this is going to be very
good. The Alexis Sanchez banner.
What, the dog banner?
The dog banner.
Presume they won't keep it up. I'm still going to follow Atom and Humber on Instagram, if anyone's wondering. To be honest, it's actually a real relief to get this done and out of the way, because it was always going to happen. But I think the most pessimistic of Arsenal fans, which is about 99% of them at this point, thought that Arsenal would lose Sanchez and probably Ozil for nothing in the summer. Mm. But, you know, with Mkhitaryan coming the other way and possibly Aubameyang coming in as well, it's like, all right, well, you know, this could be far, far worse. This is way better than any of us expected. Yeah. And a swap deal. You never see that.
Can I, straight swap? That's what I was saying, that wasn't I, a week or two ago. It won't happen because swap deals never happen.
Mm. Well, apparently the Mkhitaryan thing, it's not dependent. I think Mkhitaryan just goes anywhere if he fancies it. I think it's... They said it's a swap deal. But
they're both moving on a free transfer. Yeah. It's effectively
He moves if he fancies it. So they went, well, we're getting inside. You're probably not going to play. You're free to go if you want. If you want to kick around.
Sanchez's problem has been he moves if he fancies
it. But Portsmouth had a player back in the day called Diabat. I can't remember his first name. And he was released, but he still kept turning up. Jamal, just keep my fitness up. We don't play her anymore.
Someone was telling us that the... remember the Andy Cole, Keith Gillespie swap deal back in the day?
Oh, for Manchester United.
Yeah. Manchester United.
Seven million plus Gillespie,
who was a fantastic player for you guys. He wanted Beckham originally, Keegan, but like Ferguson just didn't want to give him away.
I think we're all glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine?
As he runs him over the first time.
Wasn't it only because Beckham was English, though? It wasn't a completely like ridiculous notion that it might be Beckham. It was just because Keith Gillespie.
Well, that's why sort of all the English players are being linked. All the slightly iffy English players are getting linked with austerity Chelsea because they need another English player, don't they?
So that to me is a very interesting thing. It's the best example of this new model that Abramovich at Chelsea want. They don't want to spend all this money. It's weird the amount of players they're being linked with. Some of which I rate, but I mean. You know, it's strange to see. But I wanted just to go back to Jim and Arsenal very quickly. I'm not doing my have a go at Arsenal pose. I'm just genuinely interested because I remember in the summer Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain being photographed quite surreptitiously in a Liverpool training kit, and he'd obviously just done his medical or something. Do you remember? It was in the lift.
I do remember.
And Arsenal fans got quite annoyed about that. And said it's a bit disrespectful, he's not been officially announced, and all the rest of it. Yet Alexis Sanchez was photographed in the Man United kit over the weekend, and he's also not been officially announced, but there's not really been the outpouring of
the whole situation was Alexis Sanchez was in a Man United kit with his name on the back, on the pitch at Old Trafford, taking a selfie.
I suppose that's the extreme end of this problem, if you have a problem with it. But he's going to sign for them, isn't he?
It's like it's happening.
What difference does that make?
I suppose to broaden it out then, just to sort of labour this a little bit more, you know when Paul Ince posed with a Man United shirt when he was at West Ham?
Yeah, so this is where
they've
started.
They've never forgotten it to the point where they boo
Tom Ince.
So I wonder why.
I can't see why those two players are different in any way.
Yeah, I know. Right?
And the inherent racism of newspapers and the inherent racism of online media in general, to be honest.
But so you're saying that Arsenal fans are racist because they're annoyed?
I'm not saying that. There's just always a bit of an undercurrent, isn't there?
But what at Arsenal?
I'm just saying that young black players have a completely different situation with the press in general, I think.
So you're saying the reason that people are annoyed about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain doing it and not Alexis Sanchez...
Because he's a young black British footballer.
Well, I thought it was because Alexis Sanchez was being destined to leave anyway and out of the blue.
I think in both cases, a thing to remember at the moment as well is if you just solely look on sort of Twitter comments and Instagram posts from people, a lot of them are very young, very angry, and they're typing in language and emojis that people of our generation simply don't understand.
No, I don't get any of it.
Exactly. So I think most rational fans, I don't think people care about that now, because I think Paul Ince was the most high profile version of that, and it just
they did 6 months ago with Oxlade-Chamberlain.
I think with Sanchez,
it was a move that has been mooted, not to that specific club, but it was always going to happen. And I think with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, he was a very young player that came not completely through the ranks at Arsenal. He was at Southampton, I believe they developed him. Was he at Portsmouth maybe for a short while? He was certainly at Southampton.
Who, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Yeah, he was at Southampton, wasn't he?
He slipped through the net because we didn't have an academy.
Yeah,
the net is a hole.
Yeah, because the net doesn't exist.
Indeed, yeah. And so maybe it was a bit different. Pete, you may well have a point. I mean... as sad as it may say or be, but I think this is a little bit different, and I think the fans are just thinking, yeah. I mean, Wenger said that the team's morale has been very badly affected by this in the first half of the season, so if Sanchez wasn't there, they might have been challenging, who knows.
And let's face it, the rest of the Arsenal team hate him as well, so
that appears to be the case, which is interesting, because Luke, you've said before you've heard through the grapevine, if you don't mind me exposing, that he's he's a very, very difficult character, and there was a lot of sort of division in that dressing room, and from the way he appears on the pitch, he's a very, very smiley player, very hard working. You wouldn't think that of him, but apparently
look at the way they played against Palace. They couldn't wait to express themselves.
There's a scale of different rumours I've heard about Alexis Sanchez, and a lot of it comes from spending time at the club in another capacity. But
I've had some rumours about him this weekend,
and it goes from the fact that he's a bit of a difficult character all the way up to he won't even pass to certain Arsenal players during the game. So clearly, on that level, they're going to be better off with him gone. But sadly, obviously, his ability is so great that they're going to miss him. But you're saying that without him, maybe Arsenal could be challenging. Gordon De Wenger, they still are challenging, mate.
He's not conceded a thing yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Aubameyang coming in, that'll fill that bad boy hole, if that does happen.
I've got a feeling that Wenger might be preparing the ground for a post-Wenger Arsenal now, because Aubameyang's going to run rings around him.
Yeah. Well, it's concentrating on the future from Arsenal's point of view, I'm interested in the Mkhitaryan signing. I'd be interested to see what you guys think of it, because a lot of people are saying, can he play with Ozil? That might be a bit of a weird one. And I think that there's some truth
in that. That problem will be solved in the summer.
Yeah, quite. It could be that this is laying the groundwork for Ozil to go, but I wonder if actually he's looking at Mkhitaryan as a replacement for Santi Cazorla and thinking about playing him a bit deeper in the same way that Kevin De Bruyne now plays at Man City, just because the midfield is a problem. So this might be a weird way of trying to tackle that.
Yeah,
so
not a bad show.
It could be fanciful, but you could be right, Jim. I like the thought that Wenger, if they
plans
lose
ahead.
Ozil, yeah, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If they lose Ozil in the summer, they'll say, well, who are you going to replace him with? Well, got in Mkhitaryan, didn't I?
Yeah.
Who are you replacing Sanchez with?
Oh, no!
Yeah. Aubameyang, but he's...
Yeah,
he's
well, there
in,
we
he's
are.
He's in
Jim?
Milan in a nightclub.
Oh, God! Let's not do this now. Before we go to the break, we mentioned Chelsea earlier. They scored one of the goals of the season for me at Brighton. It was Brazil 1970s!
Two back heels.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And the finish... That sort of laced outside of the boot kind of finish was
loved
glorious.
It. Yeah, they were very good.
Absolutely.
Chelsea and Arsenal were both very good.
Slightly misleading scoreline. It was a bit unfair on Brighton, the 4-0. They did have chances.
I did enjoy Michy Batshuayi falling over as a dummy for Eden Hazard scoring the third goal. Mm-hmm. It was very, very kind of him. Very creative.
Well, he might not be there much longer. I mean, Chelsea seem hell-bent on signing any striker that has an ounce of an aerial threat about them.
They've been linked with a guy called Soltan Kozan, who is a farmer, but is also the tallest man on earth at 8'3".
There you go. Well, get him up there. Get him up there. I mean, the link to Peter Crouch is very pleasing for anybody involved with football. How would you feel if you were Alvaro Morata, if that was the case? You saw a link and thought, okay, I'm a bit patchy.
Hang on a minute, I've scored loads ahead of you.
He's quite tall himself, isn't he, Morata? It's a strange one. So it's Crouch, Zigic, Richard Osman from Pointless.
He won't go, he's a big Fulham fan.
That's true.
Luke.
Look, Moore's in.
I've not scraped that barrel.
I like the thought of Peter Crouch going there and walking up to Azpilicueta. So who they call you Dave, yeah? And you can plant the ball on people's heads. And he's like, no, no, you need a bit of movement. No, it's all right. I'll just, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll sit up shop and I won't move the whole game. You'll see exactly where I am.
I'm not going to let it pass at how good that Peter Crouch impression
was. Yeah,
well,
it was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
Very good.
Not bad. I'm the same age as Peter Crouch, and I would be cheaper. I'm just putting it out there.
I'm the same age as Roger Federer, and it haunts me.
Yeah. what a weird person to bring up.
One of the names that's not been mentioned is Ashley Barnes.
Yeah.
I love Ashley Barnes.
But he's decent.
Are the press just having a laugh now at this point? Because this happens, doesn't it?
Ashley Barnes is a real busy bastard.
Yeah. Oh, come on, yeah.
And busy bastard.
He doesn't score any goals.
Oh, you busy bastard.
I was chatting to someone over the weekend who was saying about, and we were talking about Ashley Barnes' ability to draw a foul. There's no one better. He will draw a foul.
I mean,
better than anyone.
I appreciate the fact that he's good at that, but I mean, there are a few people better. I'm at just drawing a foul.
Andy Carroll draws a foul. They just tend to be fatal.
And he makes some as well.
And also, Ashley Barnes has got an exemplary goal scoring record of 17 league goals in 114 games. So.
Be careful. That's all I'm saying. This is how Phil Neville got the women's team.
That is true, yeah.
Who we saw do a pub quiz with me, Marcus, last week. And he said he didn't know the captain of the women's team. He's like, you should know at least that, Phil, to
Don't
be honest.
Expose him on here.
Why?
Expose himself. Not like that.
Not like that. That was the last guy. Right, let's move on.
Indeed, yeah. But before we go to the break, Chelsea, more realistically inquiring about Edin Dzeko.
Yeah.
But nice to see him back.
That's a good link.
He's Champions League cup tied.
I know he is, eh? With that wonderful volley against them.
Ashley Barnes can play in the Champions League.
I think we're all up for Ashley Barnes here, Chelsea.
Is it a vote? If so, we're voting for Ashley Barnes.
It'd be to see.
Can you imagine? Yeah, you imagine Barnes going to Chelsea and him just constantly phoning the Burnley boys, because Barnes will get paid a hell of a lot more and he'll do a hell of a lot less to get that money. And you imagine on the training ground the Burnley players going through their paces with Dyche, right, track back, defend, that's right now we go, and all that sort of stuff. And Barnes phoning up going, hey, boys, getting on? Yeah, I'm just watching them go, and I can't just do doggies at the moment. I'm down training. That'd be glorious, wouldn't it? Right.
Oh, that was real glee from you, though. That'd be glorious, that, wouldn't it?
For a minute, I thought I was Ashley Barnes there trying to get a move to Chelsea. Let's go for a quick break then, Peter.
All right then, fine.
I better go to the cash point and get some money, if I've got any money left.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for Correspondence with Peter Donaldson.
It's my favourite part of the show. I don't know about you guys.
Hey. No Kale this week. Oh. Did no get back in touch, so never mind.
Yeah, Neil Castle in the highlights of the weekend said, can I hear more from Tony Kale? Sadly,
just
you can't,
go on any corner of the internet.
Yeah.
Go, to a men's, rights activist forum or something.
Hashtag Gamergate. You're going to
Yeah, so, and thank you to a lot of people who sent in some Eminem raps as well, which were quite good.
Uh-huh. Pete's decided to cash in his chips here. He's done a brilliant bit of email rapping last time round. Right. You're saying I'm not doing any more.
I'm retiring.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm trying to think of rappers who only needed one album.
It's a shame. So to be fair, there is a difference between reading out an email and doing a rap to music.
Yeah. Not much difference, Jim.
But Pete's retiring now because he's heard Chelsea might be interested in
him. Pete's retiring because it'll be so empty without him.
Yeah, James Pettigrew. James Pettigrew, thank you for getting in touch, James. Something for the long-time listener slot, he says, on this topic of Sean Dyche's voice. Oh. I have two observations. I'm constantly expecting him to launch a joke about how fat his mother-in-law is every time I hear him being interviewed.
Yeah, good one.
Definitely.
Bit of Les Dawson about him.
Yeah, definitely. Number two, Dyche's one-man attempt to raise the profile of English managers puts me in mind of Martin Luther's struggles in the 16th century. Ramble listeners who have studied in detail the consequences of religious turmoil in medieval Europe, who hasn't, he says, will know that the Diet of Worms didn't do him any harm either.
Yeah.
Right.
So there we go.
We'll leave that one there.
Yeah.
Take my mother-in-law. God, no, please, just take her. Classic Les Dawson.
Your mother-in-law's off to Chelsea. Cesar. Hello, Cesar. Hello, gentlemen. I want to share a quick highlight from Mexico's top flight, the Liga MX. During Sunday's match between Santos Laguna and Morelia, newcomer Randy Sandoval. Ray Sandoval made his Liga MX debut during the 83rd minute. In the 85th minute, he was shown a direct red. He didn't have a chance to make a single pass.
My goodness.
Wow. That's
what
not
an
too
intro.
Bad. Can anyone beat that?
That is Blimey. Efficient.
Very straight efficient. Out of there.
It reminds me of when that famous Royal Rumble once when the Bushwhackers came in for the Royal Rumble, straight into the ring, Bushwhackered around, chucked straight out.
Oh,
same. Unbelievable. Same principle.
Comparable.
Same. Hello, Ramblers. Hope all is well. This is from Sam in London. Basically, I am quite a desperate man, or more specifically, a man desperate for you to read an email I've sent into the show twice already.
Desperate Sam.
Well, get the message, Sam. How's this made it in?
The reason I'm trying one more time is genuinely, I do think you'll enjoy my contribution. This is almost, this could go either way. This could go kill. This could go down the kill highway.
This is like when we have a meeting before the show and people try and pitch ideas and we all say no.
I want to do a rap. Everyone said no. A while back, Marcus began an episode of the show talking about the man who drove Man United and Manchester City's first team coach.
That's right.
During the days of Sir Alex Ferguson. Yeah. Naturally, you all seemed surprised that such a figure existed, but he did. His name was Derek Sutton and he was employed by the Manchester coach company Finglands, which I'm quite enjoying.
Yeah,
Finglands.
Finglands.
He also went by the nickname of Sutty. Sutty became good friends with Ron Atkinson, so much so that he was allowed to sit in the dugout during United's away games. And he was there on November the 8th, 1986, when Atkinson's successor, Sir Alex Ferguson, took his place in the United dugout for the first time at Oxford United. Ferguson took one look at the portly, bespectacled man at his left and asked, "Who the fuck are you?" Upon discovering who Sutty was, Ferguson made it clear to him he would never be allowed to sit in the United dugout again, and he never did. The end.
Oh, that's that's the beginning of the end for Ferguson.
I know.
That's it. That was his first and most egregious mistake.
Not Ron's, though.
No. Ron rung him up, so I told you. You bet that's the decision. You'll never win the trophies I have.
But, oh, it's a tight ship under big Ron Atkinson, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, mate, it's so tight, the Man City bus driver is technically sitting in the United dugout.
When people talk about Ferguson taking over the club and eventually turning it around, the way they talk about it is that, the people were just drunk all the time. Yeah. This bus driver thing. It was like walking into like a post-apocalyptic city for the first time. Wow. Big Ron sat there going, lovely old job, wasn't it?
The dugout would just be on fire.
You can ask yourself, would you have preferred to play for Manchester United pre or post Ferguson? Because I'm not sure.
And let's not forget, there's a lot of truth in this because Big Ron once famously sat in the wrong dugout at the start of the game.
For Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Might have been at Hillsborough.
No, it's Man United and Man City.
Yeah.
He's still City.
Sutty! Oh, yeah, Sutty!
Yeah. Not the last time he got in trouble for that sort of language either.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Dreadful, but wonderful.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
If you want to get involved, shortthefootballramble.com to email.
A simpler time.
A simpler time.
Yeah. Not the first half of this show.
Oh, dear. Paul Lambert is back. I'll tell you what, if you were a Stoke player, you'd be wanting to play for Stoke post.
He was pumping it, Lambert.
Really? Pumping it.
Was he always like that?
No.
I don't remember him being like that.
Well, over 1,000 days he's been out of the Premier League. I like it when they break
it's
it down.
Biblical,
days.
Isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. They don't say you're not managing the Premier League for sort of three and a half years.
I said to people at the start of the season, Stoke are going to struggle this year. Yeah. They fired their manager.
Yeah, but you said that before Lambert's Paul Lambert came in.
Yeah, but Lambert's come in.
Mm.
And I remember, you guys will too, Paul Lambert managing Aston Villa. And in the post-match interview before he eventually lost his job, he looked about 3,000 years old. And then about 2 weeks later, after he'd been fired, he came on and did some punditry.
Yeah.
And he looked like Paul Lambert's son.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised he's full of the joys of spring now coming into a new job.
Yeah.
And with respect to him, he'll be delighted to get a Premier League job after his recent managerial career. So you're not surprised that he's very, very happy. But they had a good result. They played okay.
Well, they made the most sprints they've made all season. So there's been a clear and obvious impact there.
That's twice that's happened with a Premier League club now. West Ham,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Of course, yeah. I guess that it's just a sign of it going stale, isn't it? And I suppose how quickly things can go stale now that footballers themselves are used to this managerial merry-go-round. And the idea of having someone at the helm for a long time is probably quite alien to the majority of them. But yeah, I mean, you can see the energy on the touchline that Paul Lambert was putting in. Like, clearly that has translated to the players.
And you know, it's a home game against a promoted team who aren't in great fashion themselves. But it is ideal, Jim, on one level. But on the other level, it does bring its own pressure because they've struggled badly. If they'd lost that game...
Well, you've got to win that game.
I think they'd be second bottom if they lost it. And Swansea play tonight, don't they? So they could have found themselves rock bottom by the end of the game week. So really, really important win for them.
Vital win, and they're now out the relegation zone. Only a point above Southampton, but still it's best to be out the zone.
Joe Allen was marauding around like Franz Beckenbauer. Incredible.
We made this point like a few weeks ago. Like, there's absolutely no... When we were making the point about Mark Hughes perhaps moving on, the players they've got, maybe a lot of them it would be hard to make a sort of case that they're improving players, but they're still experienced enough at Premier League level, and Joe Allen's a great example of that. He did look a lot better, didn't he?
I think that's the point with Stoke, isn't it? That you look at that squad and you think that they shouldn't be struggling. You know, other teams don't have some of their players. You saw that. I mean, even with Shaqiri's little flick. Just it's great play, and they have that, yeah, those kind of moments.
I have seen Stoke a few times this season, and Joe Allen's always looked one of the busier players. I think. Yeah. I think the problem.
Would you call him a busy bastard?
He's a busy bastard. But the problem with Markie's been there for such a long time. Once a manager sidelines a player and sort of says, "Look, you're in the backup team. You're not going to play every week.
The bomb squad.
You're in the bomb squad. Yeah, you're on the bench or whatever." Players just sort of go, "Well, what's the point in trying?" And that means that the player that's in your position, that's actually on the field, he's not trying either, because there's no competition for places.
Like Alex Song at Arsenal, remember?
Exactly.
It's like Arsenal.
Yeah. Well, not now that Sanchez is gone.
Yeah.
Morale's back, baby. Yeah. And you can't put a price on that. And well done for Wenger.
It's Monreal.
Among the goals.
And Wenger's guaranteed the Premier League title now.
Yeah. Well, maybe not guaranteed, but they are back in the title race. But yeah, a very good win for Stoke. And Stoke now, they have Watford, Bournemouth and Brighton next in the league. So a chance to get a bit of momentum.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the whole bottom half of the table could realistically turn into this massive, massive relegation dogfight. And given that it's actually genuinely been a good few years since we've had a genuine title race, this might be where all the excitement comes. I guess at this point, that's not that weird. But
I think this already the case, Jim. I think 10th place down, given that the team in 10th are Watford, who've just fired their manager. Mm. Any team that level or below has to be considered to be part of it.
Mm. 4 points above 18th.
Yeah, right in the mix-up. Yeah, right in the mix-up.
Great. Well, yeah. Not for any of the teams involved, but it is for us.
Very much so. At Goodison Park, it was a horrific leg break we saw. But
that was very, very sad.
Rondon was obviously classy operator and so on and so forth. So, absolutely awful. But there was some nice tributes to Cyril Regis, of course. I know you guys talked a little bit about, you mentioned Cyril Regis before, so we won't do that.
Well, the FA sort of dragged their feet a little bit on those.
It's unlike the FA, isn't it?
It's dragged their feet. To be disorganised.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, but there's been another passing of a great in the game, Jimmy Armfield.
Mm. Yeah, I was very sad to read this on the way in this morning. I always enjoyed Jimmy on Five Live, and the thing I liked about him so much as a radio broadcaster was that the game must have changed so much since he played to an almost unrecognisable level.
Oh,
but he was always able to offer some really genuine insight, and he was a great guy to listen to on the radio. Of course, a brilliant right back as well. I mean,
for Blackpool,
part of the
560 games for Blackpool.
I know, right? Mm. He's got a statue, yeah, so he's obviously a legend. But he played right back for England in World Cup 62, and of course, I think he had a bad injury ahead of World Cup 66, and then George Cohen took his place. But
he's in the squad.
He was part of the squad, of the squad. And also, one of the things also goes unreported about Jimmy Armfield. A creditable manager as well. Took Leeds United to the European Cup final. Mm.
Took Bolton up once, didn't he?
Yeah, took Leeds over after the Brian Clough debacle. Mm. Followed him in.
There
so he did a good job.
There
was very, very sad to see.
My favourite story that came out this morning was when I think it was... I think it was Wilkinson, actually, in a post-match press conference, started shouting, started berating the assembled throng of press officers, sort of saying, "How many caps have you won? How many caps have you won?" And he popped up and went, 43, actually, Howard.
That's funny.
Very good.
Every single person I've heard of working with him at Five Live this season, an absolute gem as well. Brian Glanville, the great Brian Glanville, wrote a really touching tribute to him in The Guardian today. That's worth checking out, too.
What I liked about his commentary was that he was just very deliberate, and also he just still had love for the game, clearly, which doesn't always happen with radio commentators. You can sort of tell with some people, you sort of go, "Oh,
Alan Green."
Hey, Alan Green.
Say Alan Green.
We're talking about Alan Green.
I like old Greeny.
Do you?
Well, why not give a bit of balance to that argument?
BBC over there. Yeah. We're not going to hire you, mate.
But Chelsea might. They're always on the BBC.
You're too short.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Got a good leap, though, so don't let them find out about that. The Championship we go to. Mm. Aitor Karanka got a great win. First win as Forest boss away to Wolves. Bit of a surprise, really, ending Wolves' 13-match unbeaten run in the league. And it was Forest's first win in seven, I say in the league, because obviously they won in the cup, Jim. Wolves are still 9 points clear at the top of the table, though. And I did quite like the quote from Nuno Espirito Santo, which to me sounds like a brand of something.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like it sounds like an Ibiza getaway.
Yeah. Where are you going, Nuno Espirito Santo? Oh, yeah. Joy,
is that the nudist resort?
Or a fancy lemonade?
yeah,
it's perfect.
There was a great moment in this game where the Wolves fans were sort of giving the Forest players some stick and whistling them for trying to be a little bit fancy. And then there was a glull. Forest scored a glull. So egg on their face.
Egg on their face. Well, as Santo himself said, bad result, bad performance.
That's it.
That's all you need, really, isn't it? Yeah. Any more questions? No, good.
Could do this on Twitter.
Yeah. How many holiday homes have you got in Ibiza, he said. Right, Tony Pulis said Middlesbrough got a decent win at QPR. I keep forgetting that Pulis is at Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
I think, have they got a good result? Oh, Pete Tone's involved. Oh, he's going to eat up the championship.
I think it's a canny move from Pulis because he obviously turned down the Swansea job and maybe could have got himself into another Premier League team after the West Brom thing. And obviously, they were in terrible form when he left. But Middlesbrough's a great club for him because they've got potential. They've been in the Premier League in recent memory. He knows the championship very well and can do a good job there. So I wasn't surprised when I thought about it more to see him go. And they're only a couple points off the...
I think they're eighth, are they?
Yeah, they are, yeah, yeah.
I walked past the team bus. I was playing football around the corner from...
I saw you send that picture. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You weren't playing football around the corner. You turned up with your boots.
Yeah.
You're in the away end.
He's on his way to Stamford Bridge.
This'll do.
Yeah.
It was nice to head to Shepherd's Bush Belushi's and watch Newcastle get... a hammering with a lot of the Middlesbrough fans. That was fun.
Really?
So we know that you were in the area around the time of this game. We also know there was an incident, don't we, at the QPR Middlesbrough game.
I can always wee, Jim. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm always ready.
That was straight. Before we come to that, I did enjoy Ian Holloway's quote after the game.
Is it going to be better than someone pissing in a bottle, Marcus? Is the question, mate?
No,
it's the question. Is that the dessert we're waiting for?
You've got to build up, haven't you?
Okay,
every main act needs a flipping support act, don't they? So allow me.
Ian Holloway is a support artist for a bottle of piss.
I can't think of a more fitting. You know, he's full of piss and wind, isn't he? So, you know.
Piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like that because Pulis and Middlesbrough, they won 3-0. It was, you know, a decent scoreline, especially away from home. And Ian Holloway said, well, in the first 15 minutes, we were causing them all sorts of trouble. And I can assure you that Tony Pulis, who's a friend of mine, wasn't too happy. And you sort of think, well, okay, you dominated the first 15 minutes, did you? What about the rest of the bleeding game?
Yeah. Where they scored all the goals.
Fairly recently, like.
George Friend scored a nice one.
He did, actually, yeah. Mm. He doesn't get many. We talked about Holloway recently because his team was QPR, obviously, were on the end of a beating. And he started slagging off the opposition team's striker, saying he wasn't very good, even though he had scored. It was like bizarre stuff.
Well, he did a similarly weird thing when he was actually talking about George Friend's goal. He said something along the lines of, I've seen George Friend hit that, and I'm fuming that that's gone in.
Yeah.
I love that. That's his analysis. Well, that's bloody annoying.
Yeah. He actually said, it goes straight in my net. I'm fuming. Goes straight in my net, I'm fuming. It's not your net, is it?
Love it.
It's the collective net of Queen's Park Rangers.
Yeah.
There we are. A Middlesbrough fan was arrested, though, for allegedly pissing in QPR goalkeeper Alex Smithy's water bottle.
And we know Pete was nearby. That's all I'm saying. Is there more to this story, Pete?
I mean, the people of North East being very liberal with their fluids at football.
Yeah, and they look up to you.
It's becoming a thing.
Yeah, well, they look up to you.
You're the king in the North, aren't you? Or the king of the North East, at least.
Last time me and Marcus saw Middlesbrough play football,
that is the only man...
Marcus was in a cubicle and a man just sort of burst in and went, there's room enough for two in here.
Yeah.
And just started peeing, crossing swords, if you will.
I think they're quite liberal with the old urines up there.
Liberal with a widow.
Yeah, liberal with a whittle. Or maybe we're a bit too conservative down here, Jim. We're the ones to blame, mate.
Our problem is we keep it all in. You see us on the tube, we don't talk to each other.
No. Oh, so you're one of us now, are you?
you're first.
Betrayal.
Pete's been one of us for years. The day he moved down to London, he jumped off the train, got himself a chai latte, straight into the Apple store.
Mm. Well, I informed the man on the Grand Central, never let me north of Birmingham.
there we are. But yeah, apparently a video showed a Borough fan resealing a bottle of water and throwing it back onto the pitch, and it's believed the bottle may have been taken earlier by the pissy pitch invader.
Yeah, how did he manage to sort of take the... But was he celebrating or...
Who knows?
He took the bottle.
He didn't drink out of it, did he? We don't know. The case
continues. It's an ongoing cable. I'm sure more will come out.
What I like about it is, like, it's one of those things that...
Info, not piss.
that somebody does and they go, oh, this is a really funny joke. And then when it actually comes to, it, like, standing up in court and explaining your actions, you're going... Yeah, you made someone drink some piss. And you're like, you're going to prison for quite a while. Like, longer than you think this deserves.
Yeah. Get your house in order, Pete. That's all I'm saying.
Get your affairs in order.
My giddy aunt. Right then, let's go to an ad break very, very quickly.
Yes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout.
36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is happening this Friday morning. Mm. It's going to be fantastic. How did our better get on last week, Luke Moore?
He didn't land his bet. He was on a run. He had one in the bank, and his second one he failed. But interestingly enough, because he backed Man City really to beat Newcastle, and they'd be over 2.5 goals. It was over 2.5 goals. I know in the both teams to score.
Yeah.
But the interesting part of this, right, as we established last week, the bettor was Alex Murphy, same name as Robocop in the film Robocop. His dad was Russell Murphy, same name as Russell Murphy in Robocop.
And who scored?
Who scored the goal to scupper him?
Mr. Murphy.
Jacob Murphy.
It was a lovely goal as well. It was really well taken. Yeah. Really well so taken.
He's had a funny season, that lad. He's like, he really likes Newcastle United for some reason. But he's just, it's rare to have a Newcastle United supporting footballer play for Newcastle United.
We had no success in the best bet with Bet365, but we did have a delicious subtext. And I think we could all agree is much more enjoyable.
Yeah. He wasn't far off as well.
It's true. Yeah, he wasn't far off. Yeah.
Can you say that? Can you walk into the bookies? I wasn't far off.
You can try.
We're looking for a new better for this week, so do get your emails into show@thefootballramble.com if you think you can step up to the mark.
Absolutely.
I'm still not saying that Aguero scored 3 goals in that match. That first one was very, very
I'm not sure about that either.
A ruffle of the hair. That's all it takes.
That was a goal for all of Manchester.
Aguero.
Let's go to the Scottish Cup.
Oi, oi.
Come on. There's been a fairy tale. Brora Rangers
Hearts
made
beat his.
That's not a fair example. Brora Rangers made history by beating East Fife to reach the last 16 of the Cup for the first time ever. The Highland League side are in the last 16 of the Cup. This is fantastic. It's the second time they've knocked out League One opposition. They haven't conceded in the Cup so far this season. They're on the march. Brora Rangers are on the march, Jim.
It's a great win.
They're seventh in the Highland League currently.
Yeah, it's an amazing win.
They're away to Killy in round 5.
Do you fancy him for that, Marcus?
You've got to, haven't you? I mean, look at the facts.
To be fair to Brora, they are seventh because I think they've had to postpone some games because of this cup run.
Yeah.
So they might get right up there if they win those.
You'd hope so.
You never know.
Oh, my goodness. Elsewhere in the cup, Hearts beat Hibs 2. Hearts boss Craig Levein said the natural order has been restored.
Isn't that a quote from Macbeth?
Gracious in victory. Was it a last-minute winner? Lennon was fuming.
Easily offended Neil Lennon, as he's called now, I believe, north of the border. Found that disrespectful. No, he's Northern Irish, sorry. It's just a crock of crap. That's what he said. It's just a crock of crap.
Crock of crap.
Hearts is to be confirmed who they're playing in the fifth round. So, yeah, he took umbrage with that, saying that Levine saying that the natural order has been restored. Absolutely ridiculous.
Umbrage is a very Scottish word, I think.
Is it?
Just sounds like very Scottish.
It works in the accent, doesn't it?
Umbrage. Yeah. Neil Lennon just kept going on and on about this. You know how he does like to be offended, doesn't he, Neil Lennon? If anyone is interested, though, in Edinburgh derbies, Hearts have 138 victories. Hibs have 83 with 94 draws.
Sounds like a natural order to me.
It does to me as well, Luke Moore. But don't tell Neil Lennon I said that.
There's quite a few. I remember when we played a live show in Edinburgh once, there were quite a few pissed off Hibs fans there, weren't there?
I don't remember. They weren't at the back door when I went.
No.
Let's go to Argentina before we go to going for Glory.
Let's come back, man.
Let's go back there. Carlos Tevez has rejoined Boca Juniors again.
Ugh. Yeah. If you want a little insight behind the curtain here, and I am going to stitch Jim up here.
No, I was going to say it myself.
Just let you say it.
I fucking hate Carlos Tevez. He's my least favourite footballer. I can't stand him. He is just the absolute epitome of the whinging, just like mercenary, entitled footballer.
The Arsenal have employed again and again and into my dad.
Hang on, Jim. Let me read the quote and see what others think.
Sounds like Neil Warnock.
Yeah, I know. Saying that he's an entitled footballer.
I hate our Carlos.
So you're saying that he's an entitled footballer and all that kind of stuff. Okay, we heard what you said, Jim. Well, let's see what you
think. Judge on his merits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He started less than half of Shanghai Shenhua's league games whilst earning a reported $615,000 a week there. And said on Argentinian TV on his return and lack of form in China, it's fine. I was on holiday in China for 7 months. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, does that back up your point, Jim?
All the signs are in Mandarin.
Tit. The man is a tit.
Would you ever at Arsenal?
No, I wouldn't.
You bloody would.
I don't know why people don't like him. Like,
because hear what I said.
He goes on strike and he throws his dummy out the pram.
He literally said he was on holiday for 7 months and he was on $615,000 a week. The people of China deserve better than that.
Yeah.
The people of Shanghai deserve better, Peter.
They certainly
do. And as someone who visited Shanghai yourself,
you
would know that.
Well, no, in the first night, I was robbed by a man in Shanghai, so...
It was Carlos Tevez.
No, I didn't have a nice
Tevez
time
was
there.
Not putting that much effort.
And I was on holiday.
It was Carlos Tevez, and then he ran off, and he was going, I'm skint. Yeah. Don't blame me, I'm skint.
What did they steal from you? I asked this because I had my doorbell stolen this week, which is really annoying.
You're going to have to order another doorbell from Amazon, and they're not going to be able to knock on your door, aren't they?
Kafka-style nightmare I know, isn't it?
Hey, what was stolen from you in Shanghai?
We went to a karaoke bar that was not a karaoke bar. It was just full of men who said they were Chinese gangsters.
Right.
And they wouldn't let us leave until we paid the money.
Don't answer much questions, is it?
Yeah. What?
Well, they extorted £80 off me.
Good lads.
There we go.
And you thought that's gone to Carlos Tevez. This is how they're paying his wages.
Who knows?
We've all got a chip in somewhere. Yeah, right?
Carlos Tevez's goal bonus.
But now he's back.
I imagine those gangsters pay tax.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. You're in a right soapbox today, you are. Do you go in for Globe? There'll probably be some sort of activist.
I think it's probably best we go to go in for Globe.
Let's do it. When they're going for Globe. Lord. Yeah, we're about to go for Globe. Max is back in the room. Are you ready? Are you rested?
Stop. Is it Carlos Tevez?
At the risk of poking the bear with a stick, and the bear being you in this analogy, apparently JJ's Jigsaw has got a new jingle.
What?
I know, right?
What kind of jingle is it?
I haven't heard it yet, but apparently he's stepping it up. Stepping up the Cold War, the war of attrition against your game.
Unbelievable.
Outrageous, if
the
you ask
Cold
me.
War. Who do you think he is? I bet he doesn't press his own buttons, but if he does it better than me.
He gets the volume right.
always gets the volume right. Hello to James Anmer, a long-time friend of the show. Amnor is here with some Going for Glolds.
But is he a long-time friend of the show? Because I've never heard of him.
Well, he's supported us at different points in our... I think we played football with him.
It's not the same thing. I mean, I buy records of bands. Doesn't mean I'm their friend.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Just don't let him on.
I'm only joking, James.
Born in 1983 is your first clue.
Stop. I'll go for, what about Adrian Mutu?
Adrian
Mutu. That's nice.
No, it's not.
Stop.
Adrian Mutu.
I'll go for Adrian Illy.
I'm going for all Adrians.
All the Romanians.
Stop. Adrian Zwol. Couldn't think of one.
Stop.
So I made up a Dutch one.
The Diary of Adrian Mole.
Stop. Adrian Edmondson. I was
Adrian Morehouse.
His father played for Shepshed Charterhouse.
Shepshed Charterhouse.
Shepshed Charterhouse.
Okay.
Okay.
Tennis. Mm-hmm. Scored one goal I scored one goal for my full national side. I was capped internationally at under 16s, 17s, 18s, 19s, 21 and B and full.
Stop. Is it Francis Jeffers?
Oh, lovely to hear his name, but no, incorrect. Whoa. It's not Franny Jeffers.
Nice one.
Anyone else? No.
No, no, got nothing.
Played for 13 seasons in top flight football and relegated from the top flight in my penultimate season.
It's a tough one.
Is it his, Jim?
Stop. Is it... it's not David Nugent. No, 13 seasons, it can't be. No, it can't be. I'm thinking of players who scored one international goal.
Okay. Incorrect. I was sold to 5 million when I just turned the UK legal drinking age.
Sold for 5 million? I got it. Stop. Is it Danny Cadamartery?
Oh, no, but lovely to hear.
Stop. I'll go for Stephen Warnock. Is he a player? Yeah, sorry. I've got mixed up with now. Stephen Warnock.
Have you been doing the basketball ramble behind our back?
Stephen Warnock's been capped for England.
Yeah. Him.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Jim's going to win this because whenever Jim's quiet,
Jim's taking
Jim just goes in with a jab.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean the case.
Okay.
Frankly, I got nothing. Okay.
I was in a squad for the 2006 World Cup.
I don't think he's English.
A squad. I don't think he's English. That's what I'm thinking.
No.
Well, he can be.
Stop. Thomas Hitzlsperger.
Incorrect.
No.
He's too old.
For some reason, I'm finding it harder to think of players who are around my own age.
Stop. Yeah. Jason Newell.
Oh, incorrect.
Now, Ewell would be older than maybe in his 40s.
I wonder who was playing in 2006. Was it?
How many clues left?
Three.
You've got to take De Rye for Cell. It's obviously not him, is it?
No. I think I'm on the right lines.
I scored just under a goal every 10 games for my club sides. That's a free hit.
Hang on, give us anyone fancy that?
No. It's not helping me.
I was the first player to score under the international reign of Fabio Capello.
Oh, so he is English.
Oh.
Huh.
Christ.
The first player to score.
Stop.
Matthew Upson?
Stop. David Bentley.
Haven't we already had Matthew Upson?
I don't know.
Incorrect.
David Bentley.
And incorrect.
Oh! I thought there was a little trick question there. Yeah. He wasn't in the 2006 squad. That's fool. Ah, it does this to you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was named PFA Young Player of the Year.
Gordon. Stop.
Alan Smith?
No, incorrect.
Way too far back.
Incorrect.
This is one we should know. He's about to hit his button. He's in the last
clue. Hang on. How many clues have we got left?
You've got... I could give you two or one. Do you want two?
Two, please.
Two, then.
But can I have a guess this round?
Yeah.
I'll say stop.
Yeah.
And I will go for somebody who I will think of in just a
second. No, shut up. Move on.
Shut up.
Speller thinks he runs the game.
I credit Bobby Robson's management as a huge positive on my personal development.
Oh, come on.
This is unbelievable.
Mm.
Stop. Andy Carroll.
Incorrect.
Stop. Scott Parker.
Incorrect.
I can't. There's people going mad at listening
move
to this.
Move it on. You've got to move on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are you sure, Jim?
Jim, go on. Have a go.
All right.
Oh, go on. Stop. Kieran Dyer. Obviously not.
Incorrect. I invented going for gold.
Stop. Jermaine Genus.
That is annoying. That is so annoying.
Very good.
Of course, he scored against Switzerland at
Wembley.
Jim,
you got it.
Well played, Jimbo.
Well played, James. The other James. James.
A fitting tribute to Jermaine Genus.
Yeah.
Who invented this quiz.
Yeah.
And all who sail in her.
That was a tense one. I enjoyed that.
Jimbo dug us out of a hole there.
Mm. He did. But it's like blinded by the... You can't see the wood for the trees because we've already talked about Genus, so I've filed him away.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite clever.
And I don't think...
James Anmer relied on you doing that.
He did.
And in many ways, he won.
He did, yeah. I wish I hadn't slagged him off now. All right, let's get out of here.
My goodness, that's it, everybody. That's a wonderful time we've had, and well done to Jimbo there, right at the bloody end.
Do you feel a bit of a hollow victory for you there, Jim?
Yeah. It makes up for losing Sanchez.
No, an injury time winner. Oi, Roger Federer didn't get it, did he?
No, he didn't, Rog. That's one for me.
Yeah.
You can keep all your tennis
shoving up your watsies, Rog.
Your two sets of twins.
Has he got two sets of twins?
Two sets of twins,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There we go.
My goodness. There we are. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.